Church, it's great to see you again. Thank you very much for being a part of our services here at Azalea City. This place is special. I say it a lot, but I mean it. It is very, very special. It's special because you can have folks like Bill come up and share his heart and direct our minds, and it amazes me the way that so many stand up here and come up with different ways to direct our minds. And I am thankful that he spoke on mindset, because we're going to talk about that in a moment. It's special because we can come together, and Steve and our other song leaders do a great job in picking out songs so that we can direct our minds to God and praise Him through our song. It's special because of the heartfelt prayers, the love, the tenderness, the way that we look out for one another and check on one another. We have those in our number who are sick, those who are hurting, those who are struggling with their health. And I'm thankful that we can be together. I'm thankful that we can have times to celebrate our God. What we're doing today is celebrating our God. We're celebrating His victory over the grave, His victory through Jesus Christ, and our victory in Jesus as well. Thank you very much for making Azalea City the place that you decided to worship today. Got some good news, some really good news, a lot of good news to share with you today. First of all, it occurred to me this past week, I think I was told, and somewhere along the way my human brain it fails me from time to time, and I should have already done this, but we're excited to announce another birth here in our congregation, another pregnancy at least, and there'll be a birth very soon in that family, but we're always excited to have numbers or be able to announce this, because it always means we're growing, right? The more babies we have. And so today, as you're thinking about who that might be, we'd like to congratulate Joseph, Whitney, Dawson, and Collins on baby number 3, who happens to be a little girl. So congratulations, guys. Dawson, where are you, buddy? Congratulations, man. He told me earlier, that just means more baby crying. And he said, and his daddy said that this is true. He said, that baby would cry and I'll just go, ah! Joseph said in the car and everywhere. So we're glad of that. And Whitney looks great, and we're proud of them. What a great family. I have some other exciting news to tell you about. These folks have been visiting with us now for a little while, but they told me, I actually knew this Wednesday night, but I wanted to wait till today, that they are ready to take the visitor tag off and put the member tag on. They're ready to be a part of our family here at Azalea City. Let me tell you, these guys have been friends of mine a long time, and I love them. I mean, like my own physical family. And I'm very proud of them, because they could have really easily stayed away today because they had to go to work. They had to go and do some volunteer stuff for the young lady's job that I'll mention in a minute. And so they decided, hey, it's important enough for us to be here today, though, and so they're here. And so I want you to welcome our newest family, Shane, Dana, Gracie, and Nicholas Allen, and I'm going to get them to stand up. Bubba would want you to know our foursome golf team just got a lot better. Now, Shane is out of the golf business, he said, but I'm glad they're here. Very good friends of ours, and be great friends to y'all. Going to be great workers for our Lord, already are. We love you guys. And then I have one more piece of good news to share with you today. Wednesday morning, a young man came to me and said, Daddy, I'm ready to be baptized. And so we talked about it Wednesday, and Wednesday night after class, I had the privilege of baptizing my son. As he became my brother in Christ, he read Scripture this morning, but you know him. But Bo Cagle, welcome to the family, brother. We're proud of you. That was all the good news. Now let me show you my bad news. Y'all see that? Short sermon today, George. That means I don't have my notes, so we'll go off memory. But I'm glad that you're here. The devil likes to try us. We got all this good news, Bill. You know he's going to throw something our way, but I'm not going to let... You might say it'd be good news if you just extend the invitation and we went home. But I'm going to preach, folks. I got a PowerPoint behind me. But I'm thankful to be here today. We are in the middle of a brand new theme, a brand new year, and a brand new way of looking at our walk with God. And I'm so excited about hope. I'm so excited about the opportunity we have to be able to be refreshed, to be able to be renewed. As you can see behind me, this is our theme this year. We've got it boldly on the wall so that we can be reminded that this is not something we're going to do in January. We're going to still be doing it in December, because every day when we get up, we have a new hope. We have a new opportunity. We have a new way to look at life as we can be renewed. We can walk daily with our Lord, and we can do what we are supposed to do. And like I'm talking about in our class, or our Roadrunners class on Sunday mornings, it's about perfection. It's not about walking a balance beam the rest of our lives. It's about being perfect in Jesus Christ. And so I started a series last week about building a new you. And so when I say you, I don't want you to think I'm up here pointing down at you, because those three fingers that are pointing back at me, I'm talking about Terry too. Last year our theme was more, and I challenged myself. This year our theme, again, given to us by our elders, renew, I'm challenging myself. I want to do things better. I want to be better. And so you know where that starts, as Bill's already told you, as I talked to you Wednesday night, it starts up here. It starts with our mindset. It starts with our attitude. What is my attitude going to be when it comes to walking in the light? What is my attitude going to be, my mindset, when it comes to being refreshed, renewed, and repentant of my past ways? You see that there is the whole armor of God, and I know it's small on the screen. I just wanted to really give you the visual, because in Ephesians 6, here's what the Apostle Paul says about the whole armor of God. He challenges us, but he says a good soldier will protect their head, doesn't he? You think about the critical parts of the body that the soldier, the Roman soldier, had to wear. Of course, he had to have good feet. He had to be protected in his midregion. He had to have his heart and everything protected. He had to have a shield, a sword, but he also had to have his head protected. And so a Roman soldier's helmet would protect them. It would give them a peace of mind to be able to go into the fight. So today, I want us to leave here challenged, but having a peace of mind that everything is good. Everything is the way it should be. Because when I think about God, and I think about my walk with Him, what am I going to think about? I'm going to think about heaven. So what did Paul say? He said, put on the helmet of salvation. Put your helmet on. Think about heaven. Think about God. Think about good. Think about the way of life. And so today, as we challenge one another and we build a better us, we got to start up here. Protecting our minds, getting rid of the junk, getting rid of the things that are slowing us down. Man, the devil's going to throw it our way, isn't he? He's going to put anything in our... And the list is long. That could be job, that could be family, that could be illness, that could be whatever it may be. I had a conversation with Brother Larry this week, and Brother Larry, this is not in my notes, and this is the dangerous part for y'all when I don't have my notes, okay? I don't stick to them. But I had a conversation with Larry Hancock. What a great man of God. Amen. Larry Hancock is a great encourager to me, but he told me Thursday when we talked, he said no matter what that doctor tells him, he's okay with it. You know why? Because he's got a renewed look on life. No matter what the devil throws his way, no matter what physical pain comes his way, no matter what comes his way, he knows where his salvation lies. And that's the mindset we need to have every day of our lives. We get up and we thank God for heaven. And we thank God for Jesus Christ. And we thank God for the opportunity we have to be one step closer to living eternally with Him. And so as we look through this sermon, I want you to think about something. I want you to think about what Paul said. Where my buddy Jace said? He's back there. Jace, I did this with you in mind, buddy. He's up there. Sorry. Jace loves Transformers, and there's some others. But Transformers is in the movies and all. But I love that mindset of what Paul said, and Taylor read it to us last week. I talked about it Wednesday night. It's Romans 12, 1 and 2, right? He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you what? Present your bodies a living sacrifice. And do not be conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed. Transformed. By the renewing of your mind. And that's what today is about. As we build a new us and we look at ourselves in the mirror, as Bill said, what's my attitude? What's my mindset? You see, there are people today that have walked away from our Lord. They've walked away from Him. You know why? Because of their attitudes. Because of their mindset. Because of their lack of faith. All of that starts with a I'm going to do it attitude. I can do it attitude. And so, as we walk today together, striving to be renewed, striving to be transformed, I want you to think about a Bible character, and he's a pretty famous one. He is the man Moses. Bo read to us from Hebrews, and we'll look at that again in just a moment. But as I think about Moses, think about the great man of God he was. Think about the way he was a great leader. God appeared to him, and of course God had a plan for him. God appeared to him in the burning bush, and Moses ultimately, what? He became a man who stood up to Pharaoh. He became a man who we associate with the 10 plagues. Because God used him to go to Pharaoh and attack the Egyptian gods. Because Pharaoh asked the question, who is this Lord? God said, I'll show you who I am. And so he attacked their gods through those plagues. And so Moses, we associate with that. We associate Moses with this scene, right? Parting the Red Sea. What a tremendous moment in time. Where God rolled those waters back through Moses. And they walked, and all those people, away from bondage, away from an old lifestyle, a renewed sense of hope for the Hebrews leaving Egypt as they walked through that Red Sea. So what else do we associate Moses with? We associate him with the 10 Commandments, right? We associate him going up and talking to God, being a friend to God. And being able to receive those commandments. But turn over at where you were with Bo in Hebrews chapter 11. And listen to what the Hebrew writer said about him in what we call the Hall of Fame of Faith, Hebrews chapter 11. As we look at verse 23 together. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child. They were not afraid of the king's command. By faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I love verse 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt as he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempted to do so were drowned. Did you hear what it said though? He chose to live not with the silver spoon of Pharaoh in his mouth, but with the suffering of his own people. He chose. He had the mindset, but I want you to know, folks, he didn't always have the right attitude. Even though Moses is all those things I listed, friend of God, stand up to Pharaoh, 10 plagues, 10 commandments, Red Sea, by faith he chose, he didn't always have the right mindset. You know what Moses needed to do to get to the point that we celebrate him today? He needed to change his attitude. Turn to the book of Exodus, please. Exodus chapter 3, as we look at this together. Exodus chapter 3, we're going to look down and start reading in verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he fled the flock to the back of the desert. He led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Folks, let me tell you right now, what a scene. I know we've talked about this from little bitty on up, but I cannot tell you that this doesn't just have such a remarkable moment to me every time I read it. When you put something on fire, it's going to be consumed. You burn leaves, they're going to be burned up. Here was a bush that was on fire, but it wasn't being consumed. So there was a phenomenon going on for sure. And so it gets Moses' attention, and then God speaks to Moses through that bush. If that happens to Terry Kegler today, I'd love to tell you that, here I am, Lord, just like Isaiah, send me. You would think we'd be like, wow, God can do anything. So I'm going to get him, and I'm going to walk with him, and I'm going to do exactly what he tells me to do. But that wasn't what Moses did, was it? You see, Moses rejected it. God tells him in verse 5, don't draw near, take off your sandals. He tells him in verse 6, moreover, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. That's how powerful of a scene it is. Verse 7, God said, I've seen the oppression of my people. Verse 8, I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. Verse 9, now therefore, behold, the cry of the children has come to me. And he goes on and he tells Moses, I need you to go. I need you to stand before Pharaoh. I mean, think about this plan. I raised you up, Pharaoh's court. It was going to be easy, but you made a mistake and you wandered off, but you're back here now and I need you. I need you to step up, Moses. But Moses didn't say, okay, Lord, I'm ready to be renewed. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to do what you need me to do. Here's what he said. Verse 11, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? Of course, God answers him. And then in verse 13, he says, after God answered him, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I tell them? I don't know what who am I to go? I'm just a little old bitty me. And then he says, God, I don't even know what to tell him your name is. Of course, God answers him. You go over to chapter 4, verse 1. Moses said, but never be comfortable in your faith. Always strive. I'm not saying don't be comfortable in your salvation. I'm saying always stir up love and good works. There's going to be negativity. You don't want to do that. Those people, they're a bunch of hypocrites. They're not this. They're not that. The devil's going to throw everything he can our way, but God's going to show us victory. God's going to show us positivity. So what we really need to do is just take our sandals off. Take the world off. We need to come home and get right. The coolest scene about Romans 12 that you can see is that scene behind me. What a moment of transformation. What a God, right? To be able to take a caterpillar that's not really that cute, let's just be honest. I mean, I know people let them crawl. I just think that's kind of weird. That's just me. I mean, I've picked them up and I've done all that. But that's a creepy looking critter. And so for a while it goes and it bores itself in a cocoon. And metamorphosis happens. It changes. It transforms. And then out comes the most beautiful butterflies to this day. You'll stop and you'll watch one. You might not realize it, but you will. We'll get them occasionally in the summer and we'll be swimming or something and having a good time in the pool. And Madeline will say, "Look, Daddy, a butterfly." We'll just stop whatever we're doing. Look at the butterfly. Why? Because it's a beautiful creature. God can take our old, nasty, creepy-looking selves, crusty old us, and He can wrap us in His loving arms in the blood of His precious Son. He can change it. He can change the hardest of hearts. He can change the most stubborn of minds. He can make us something very beautiful with wings like eagles so that we can soar. Today, you want to be renewed? You need to do what Bo did. You need to go into this water, be immersed in water for the remission of your sins. Today you've done that, but you need to be better. You need to do better. Quit making excuses. Take the sandals off. Get the positive people in your life. Look for God in all victories and roll your sleeves up right now. Let's get to work.